has joined.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We will begin with Olashem Yehud. And then we will study the second Aliyah for Parashat Tetzaveh. Hashem Yehud Kud Shabri Hu Ishkinte Bivhilu Urhimu Uthilu Uthilu Urhimu Liakta Lashem Yute Bavavhe The Yehuda Shalim Bashem Ko Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La Sok Torah Mitzvah Vayehino Amaduda Elohino Elena Maseya Dena Kanane Elena Maseya Dena Kananehu. The second Aliyah begins at Exodus chapter 28, verse 13, and completes at verse 30. This is a total of 18 verses, and we know the number 18 connects to the Hebrew word chai that translates as life. Verse 13. Ve'asita mishpetzo tzahav Ushte shar shirot zahav tahor migbalot Tase otam mase avot v'natata et shar shirot havotot Alhamiz betzot. V'asita choshen bishpat ma'ase choshev k'ma'ase eifo ta'asenu zahav tekelet v'argaman betola'at sheni v'shesh Mashzar ta'ase oto Ravua yihye tafuzeret Arkov zeret rachbo Umileta vo miludat Even arba asurim aven Tur odem pita uvarechet hatur haechad v'hatur hasheni nofech sapir v'yahalom v'hatur hashlishi leshet shivu v'achlama V'hatur harvi tarshish v'shocham v'yashfei mishubatzim Zahav yihiyu v'milu otam ha'avanim Tihiyena al shemot B'nei Yisrael Shetem Esrei Al Shemotam Bituchei Chotam Ish Al Shemotihiena Lishnei Asar Shevet. In this verse, which is verse 21, you have the word Shemot, but without the vav. And you have also the word Shemotam, which is essentially the plural of Shemot. And we know Shemot means name. Actually, Shem means name, so Shemot means names. And Shemotam means names. We're going to see when we get to the translation on verse 21 what they're actually translating it as. But it is significant that it's missing the vav, and it's significant that it uses the mem, the final mem in the word shemotam. Verse 22. We see
has joined.
Oh, Hoshen. Yar Shutkalut
has joined.
Zahav Tahor. We see Ta Al Hoshen. Shite Tabe Ot. Zahav Winata Ta. Et shite hatabaot al shine katzot hahoshen benatata et shite avotam avotot hazahav al shite hatabaot el kitzot hahoshen. Et shite ketzot, shite havotot, titen al shite hamishpetot, benatata al kitfot, haefod, el mupanav, v'asita shite tabeot. Zahav samta otam al shenye shenye ketzot hachoshen al sefato asher elever haifod baita viasita shete tabe ot zahav Benata tautam al shite kitfot haefod milpata mimulpanav leumat makparto mimal cheshev haefod vayirkesu et hachoshen mitabeto. It's interesting to note, I don't know what this word means, but it's missing the yud. We pronounce it with the yud, but it, when it's written, it's missing the yud. And the yud can refer to Hashem. Would also change the gematria. From 671 to 681. Continuing to read in the middle of verse 28. El tabeot haefod biftil techelet liot al hepeshev haefod velo yizah achoshen me'al haefod. Benasa acharon et shemot b'nei Yisrael b'choshen hamishpat alibo bevo'o. It's significant in this verse that the word shemot does have the vav. B'natata el choshen המשפט את האורים ואת התומים והיו עלי ואחרון בבואו Yo, hey, wahe, adanu, yo. Yo, wahe, da, wanu, hey, yo. Vina, sa, baron, et mishpat, bene, Israel, ali, bo, lifne, Adonai, yo, hey, wahe, adanu, yo. Yo, wahe, da, wanu, hey, yo. In this whole Aliyah, all 18 verses, Hashem's name appears twice, all in the last verse, verse number 30. Let's start to learn the translation and study and see if we can make sense of the comments that I made about the Hebrew. Verse 13, you shall make settings of gold and two chains of pure gold. You will make them attached to the edges after the manner of cables, and you will place the cable change upon the settings. And you shall make a choshen of judgment, the work of a master weaver. You shall make it like the work of the ephod, of gold and blue and purple and crimson wool. And twisted fine linen shall you make it. We've discussed the reason behind the concept of the blue, which is, it's really not blue, it's techelet. It's a very special color blue, very special shade of blue. It comes from a sea snail that lives in the Mediterranean Sea only off of the land of Israel, off of the tribe of Zebulun. And that techelet color represents malchut. The purple color represents keter. And the center, which is tiferet, when you mix blue and purple, you get crimson. And that's connected to tiferet, which is the middle between the keter and the malchut, between the crown and the kingdom. Between the seed level and the manifestation. Verse 16, it shall be square, doubled, its length one span and its width one span. Well, yeah, all the way up till now, we've been talking about cubits as dimensions. Do you have any idea what a span is? I don't. Let's see if I can figure out the Hebrew word for span. I'm not seeing it unless it's the word Zeret, which is Zion Resh Tav. Verse 17 in English, and you shall fill into it stone fillings, four rows of stones. One row, Odin, Pita, and Barachet. Thus shall the one row be.
Panok?
Yes, Brandy.
A span is the distance measured by a human hand from the tip of the thumb to the tip of the little finger. In ancient times, a span was considered to be half a cubic. Cubit.
That's a little hard to accept, but the reason I say it's hard to accept, if you open your fingers, spread your fingers wide, that's not half of the distance between your elbow and the tip of your finger.
Well, that's the definition that they gave when I
know, I understand, and I appreciate you doing that. It's just, it doesn't make sense to me, but that doesn't mean that I'm right. It just,
right.
It's part of what I was discussing yesterday, that you have to use your seichel, your own wisdom when you hear things, even when it's coming from authorities. You still have to use your own.
But it still stays in line with what you were talking about. You were talking about cubics, and why did it change and say a span?
Yes, because it's relating it to the cubit,
right,
by definition. But cubits are still, there's many different, there's disagreements, mechlochets, arguments for the search of heaven, for the search of truth, as to what is the distance of a cubit, and that would make it what is the distance of a span.
That's a good thing.
Well, no one's hand is the same size, so maybe it applied to the person who was the responsible making that particular piece.
Correct. And that is one of the major reasons behind the discussion of what is the length of these things. It's also one of the technological developments was standardization. We don't think of it like that, but we have a standard for time, Greenwich Mean Time. We have a standard for distance, an inch, a foot. We have a standard for, I could say, a meter as well, but these standards are set. We have a standard for weight. All of these things are technological developments that we don't consider technological developments. They're just the way they are. Continuing with row 18, verse 18. The second row, Nofech, Sapir, and Yahalom. The third row, L'shem, Shivo, and Achlama. And the fourth row, Tarshish, Shoham, and Yashpeh. And they shall be set in gold in their fillings. Now the word Tarshish is used in the book of
Jonah.
Thank you. In the book of Jonah, Tarshish is very, very prevalent. And when I was told, or I read, and I was learned, that Tarshish is the word for Spain. It's actually the word for the end of the Mediterranean Sea, which is Gibraltar. But the connection in the book of Jonah, we know that that Jonah did not want to follow Hashem's direction to go to Nineveh. And there is a relationship between, he didn't want to go to Nineveh, and then he was running away to Tarshish. Tarshish has a gematria of 1210. Nineveh has a gematria of 121, which is, as they're connected by the number 10. To me, that was significant in the book of Jonah, and I find the word Tarshish, obviously it represents a particular type of stone, but that's not the way we understand where Jonah was running to. So why would we have the same word with these two very different perceptions and translations? Verse 21. And the stone shall be for the names of the sons of Israel. 12. So we discussed that the word Shemot in verse 21 does not have the Vav. So it's saying that the sons of Israel are not complete. Corresponding to their names again, here we have it with the Mem Sofit at the end of the word Shemot. Both of these names, both of the Shemot, do not have the Vav. The engravings of a seal, every one according to his name, shall they be for the 12 tribes. My guess is that we're talking about the insignia of the flag was being engraved. Those items that are on the flag that relate to each tribe were being engraved with their names. That's my guess. I don't know if that's true or not. Verse 22. You shall make for the Choshen chains at the edges of cable work of pure gold. You shall make for the Choshen two golden rings, and you shall place the two rings on the two ends of the Choshen. And you shall place the two golden cables on the two rings at the ends of the Choshen. And the two ends of the two cables you shall place upon the two settings, and these you shall place upon the shoulder straps of the ephod on its front part. You shall make two golden rings, and you shall place them on the two ends of the Choshen, on its edge that is toward the inner side of the ephod. And you shall make two golden rings and place them on the two shoulder straps of the ephod, from below, toward its front, adjacent to its seam, above the band of the ephod. Don't you think these verses would be more clear if they were drawn in a picture? And yet the Torah did not draw them in a picture. It used words, and it had to use extensive amount of letters to describe where it wanted it and how it wanted these things placed. It would have been a lot easier with a picture. It's not like the Torah couldn't have been made to be a stick diagram. So there is a significant amount of wisdom in these verses, because these extra letters that are unnecessary if you draw a picture must have significant meaning. And we know it does, because this whole 18 verses is dealing with life. And the Choshen my understanding of the Hoshin, and it could be wrong, is that it's the pocket where the Urim and the Tuvim would be carried, one in the front and one in the back. Verse 28, and they shall fasten the Hoshin by its rings to the rings of the ephod with a blue cord, so that it may be upon the band of the ephod, and the Hoshin will not move off the ephod. But it's not a blue cord, it's a tehelet cord. Thus shall Aaron carry the names of the sons of Israel in the Hoshin of judgment over his heart, when he enters the holy, as a remembrance before the Hashem at all times. Did I miss that Hashem in verse 29? And I made my comments? The mistake I made is that there's only the two. Let me confirm that. No, I missed the Hashem's name in verse 29, which makes it three times that Hashem's name appears in these 18 verses. And we all know the number three is connecting to the three columns of the Tree of Life. Which, and the Tree of Life is connection to the word Chai, to life. You shall place the Urim and the Tumim into the Hoshin of judgment, so that they will be over Aaron's heart when he comes before the Lord. And Aaron will carry the judgment of the children of Israel over his heart before the Lord at all times, before Hashem at all times. That's the completion of our translation.
Hello, you were talking about the different stone, Tarshish being a stone and Tarshish being a blade. A lot of times, if there's a very important stone or mineral in a place, that place can actually,
can take on the name of the stone. I understand.
I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. I interrupted you, so please continue.
No, that's all. I was just going to use the example of everybody knows about diamonds, and you connect that with Africa, South Africa, because that's where they're mined. So
they're also mined in Russia, and
yeah.
You don't have. To my knowledge, you don't have a place in Russia called Diamond, and I don't think you have a place in South Africa called Diamond. I could be wrong.
No, you're right. And also, too, they're mined in Arkansas. Would you believe that?
I would believe it, yes.
That's where you pick up the best stones when you go on vacation, is all those little stores in Arkansas.
That's
they
right.
Have just bins after bins of the most beautiful rocks and stones.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
When we were talking about the Sephirot, Malkut, Tiferet, and Keter, with the colors, Malkut
right.
being blue and so forth, and Keter being purple, and Tiferet being crimson. My mind, when you said that about Tiferet, my mind went straight to the red heifer. I wonder if the red heifer has something to do with the Tiferet for purification, because you have to purify yourself to climb up the quotation, ladder, a spiritual ladder. So I don't know if there's a connection there, but that's where my mind went immediately when you said crimson or Tiferet.
Let me give you some information. The red heifer purifies the left column. It purifies the reception. Because just as we get fake news, it's a desire for that fake news is why it comes to us. It's also a test. Because we have to evaluate that fake news and say, no, it's false, or yes, it's true. But purification is only of the left column. The central column, which is a comprised of both the right and the left, it needs the left column for the strength. It doesn't get purified. The left column, reception, receiving, gets purified. So when we talk about crimson, and I mentioned the other day that to me, crimson is a red color, and that's a left column. But it's really a mixture of the Tehelet, which is blue, and the purple. So what you're saying, while it is, I had a similar kind of attitude because it's a red color to me, but it's not red. It's some frequency between blue and purple, between the Tehelet and the concept of the purple, which is a royal color. Representing the Keter. So, just trying to give you some perspective on that, Malka.
Okay, thank you.
I have a question. Well,
go ahead.
Well, I'm wondering if at different points and different points of references that the colors change. And I say that because I was working with a link between Esther and Passover, and they gave the color green, and then I went to the Yishim website and in your search engine did a search on the different colors, and, you know, sometimes Tiferet is a middle column. It's refers to yellow. The sun being green. I mean, I got all kind of different colors dealing with middle column. And so it made me think, well, just like we have different metaphors and different frames of reference, does it also work with the colors?
Do you remember this?
That's the quickest I can say it because I'd have to send you the handout that I'm working on.
I understand the issue. Remember me saying constantly, everything is relative?
Right.
The reason the sun is called green is because the sun appears to us to be yellow. Where would you put yellow in the spectrum of right, left, or central? I'm not an expert on colors, but yellow is not a primary color. It's a mixture, just as green is a mixture. The reason the sun is called green, and it literally is just in passing, talking about another subject in the Zohar.
Right, I remember.
The sun is green. And historically, in the 50s, the level of scientific technology was, they determined that the color of the sun, the middle frequency of the light of the sun, was red. And then in the 60s, they improved their technology of of the measuring of the frequency, and they said, no, it's been moved to the green. Science obviously develops as man develops, the technology improves, and things do change. But the Zohar doesn't change. But the Zohar is describing relative things. And that's what you have to recognize. So I say that the right column is white, but it's silver also. Well, we all can understand silver tends to be white relative to the gold that is yellow. But gold is left column. Yellow is left column. The sun's light is yellow, at least to us, at least to me. If I don't look at the sun, but if I, you know, protect my eye and look at the sun, I see a yellow color. Why is that? It's all relative.
Well, in the late afternoon, at sunset, it's real red. Big and giant sometimes,
exactly.
You know.
Very true. And why is that? Because at sunset, what is taking place? The sun is being defeated by judgment. That's what night represents. The authority of judgment over Chesed. The authority of Gevurah over Chesed. So the sun has to look red to demonstrate to us what's happening energetically.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is relative. I would also suggest that you go to Zohar.com, which is where I take the Sulam commentary. It's published by the Kabbalah Center, where they put online the whole Zohar for free. And they have an index associated with it. So you can look up the word color and see every verse in the Zohar where the word color is used. And then you could take it down and talk about red and gold and all the different color words and see how they change and try and understand why they're changing, connecting to the various aspects of relativity. Are there any other questions?
Yes, I have a question.
Go ahead, Judy.
Okay, on the word Tarshish, we had mentioned before that that was the place where Jonah wanted to flee, and also it was actually a stone. I was wondering, like in Noah, his great-grandson was named Tarshish. He was the son of grandson of Japheth. If I want to see a personality or to look to see what he was like, could I look at the meanings of the place of Tarshish and the stone and get the energy and get the meanings and this and that? Would that kind of give an indication of who the person of Tarshish would have been like?
The name, if he's named Tarshish, then his personality is his attributes, personality and character, his attributes are going to be connected to the permutations of the word in Hebrew, Tarshish.
Okay.
I have several books on the gemstones, so I will look, you know, I will look it up. I looked up some yesterday, but it conflicts so much with what you had to say, and I didn't want to cause any more problems or take up time rather than problems. Let me say take up your time with it.
Well, I would appreciate being taught. So take up the time. It's not part of the issue.
Well, it'll be to go through all
the To me, this aliyah, everything in this aliyah is talking about things that we need for life. To connect to the tree of life, but in essence, to strengthen what is our life, how we live. Because these verses are not talking about the building of the Mishkan. Yes, they are talking about the building of the Mishkan, but they are also meaningful in how we live our lives today. Because we have to build a Mishkan in our hearts. These verses are talking to us how to do that. We don't see it that way. We don't understand Hebrew well enough to know that. But conceptually, that is what these verses are trying to teach us.
Well, each one of the garments actually atoned for a particular sin. So just the high priest having those garments on covered the people. So like I say, my research went in so deep, but it's been quite a long, while ago, although I did give out handouts and concerning main points in my classes, because just like here, we time is always the element that you can just go so far with it. And so there's so much here. I felt like the reason the Vav was missing in Shemot, because Shemot has several of the letters that the Shemir has. And in my research, it was just like they didn't want to use war materials or anything that, to cut the stones. So Hashem provided the Shemir worm and created it on the first day of the first Shabbat. And for the stones, it was the same thing. You wouldn't have used an engraving to cut into a stone to put the names on the stones. And so it was written first in ink, and then the Shemir worm would be put on the stone to engrave the name on it. And I felt like, well, Vav is missing, and so is the Shemir for a while. It'll reappear when the time comes that it's needed again. But that's one reference, or maybe many references. I don't know. I didn't look in my Midrash books because I'm busy with other things right now. But and I had to sketch everything many, many times. Also, there's even things that don't appear in the Torah that are in the research, that the names of the patriarchs are also engraved on them. And the way the letters were written, it works out to be 5 times 5 = 25, which relates right to, to our Kabbalah lessons. But these things are just little flashes of memory because it's been too long. I haven't taught a class using the high priest garments or my handouts with them in 5 years. And believe me, many, many years of finally reaching a point where I could sketch it each, and, different references and different names. And some, they just say they don't know what it is. And all real, really interesting and really truths behind it.
That's the reason that you see in English the words Urim and Tumim, mm-hmm. because they don't really know what they are. The way they describe it in the language is that it's some form of computers, and some say that the 42 letter name is on the Urim and the 72 letter name is on the Tumim, but we don't really know.
No.
And we have to wait for the Mashiach and for Eliyahu to answer these questions and for the resurrection of the dead. so that we'll be able to ask questions of people who are ourselves, actually, in the sense of our reincarnated lives, all the various lives we've lived. We'll be able to ask or remember because of those people. So,
and today we have to basically say, according to this text, this is what's said, or according to this author, or according to this sage, or, you know. And maybe that's why we're always told that when best to give credit to whoever you learned it from, has more meaning to me now than maybe it did before.
Baruch Hashem, absolutely true. As I'm sure you all are aware, we are out of time. So you all have a good afternoon and evening. We have 3 more classes. Our 11 o'clock class is probably going to be teaching of the 4 phases once again, because I want to do it just in one class or maybe 2 at most. And then the Deep Zohar at 4:30, and at 7 we will have a teachings by the Ari. So shalom gadol to everyone.
Alright, thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you, Hanok.
Shalom.
Shalom to all.